from the second book of Corinthians, and significantly the fifth chapter, I would like for you to hear these verses read. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I would like to point out to you that the soul of man is oftentimes in a state of confusion and is a lost soul. And that soul that man has was given to him by Almighty God. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of the book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, that the Lord breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. Whether you want to argue with me or not, or whether you want to contend for some other kind of philosophy, let me explain to you clearly that every soul belongs to God. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what race you represent. It doesn't matter what kind of a language you speak. Your soul belongs to God, and you will never be happy until you make your peace and your harmony with God. That's why the Bible teaches us, be ye reconciled to God. It's telling us that to be reconciled means to bring unto God those who have sinned and are not in harmony with the laws and the beauty of His holy majesty. Not only that, but remember too that He is our high priest, and He came into this world to bring to us a message of redeeming grace. Notice in the Hebrews, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What has been done for us has been done once and for all. What a tragic thing it'd be tonight if we had to bring an animal into this building. We'd have an animal jam. We couldn't get them in the front door. Because if we had to bring an animal to offer for the sins that we have committed, it would be a situation that would not be acceptable to so-called polite society. However, one day, the Bible tells us that when Jesus came to John the Baptist, there was a mighty visitation. A voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when that statement was made, I want you to know that John looked at him and told the people, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And this high priest of ours, who knew no sin, he was undefiled, untainted. There was nothing in him that was unholy. In fact, when he was interrogated by Pilate, Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." No one can find fault in Jesus Christ. Hollywood has tried to tear him down and defile him. I've got news for Hollywood. You'll never defile him. You'll never tear him down. He is the great I Am. He is not only the great I Am, he's the first and the last. He's the everlasting Father. And He came into this world of sinners to save those that needed His help. He took upon Himself the sin of every sinful human being. And yet He was not found in sin. You want to think about that. The one that had no sin took upon Him sin. When the matter of crucifixion took place, it was the law of the Romans that was their capital punishment. And when He was hanging on a cross, He hung between two thieves. One said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and save thyself and us." He never did answer that man. But another asked Him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And He was told, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now that's not salvation, because that's before the testator died. And it takes the testator to die to shed his blood to bring us salvation. And now our great high priest has done that once and for all. I want you to know, He suffered on the cross for every murderer, for every thief, for every adulterer, every homosexual, every unholy act, all unrighteousness, for the demon-possessed, for the drunkards, for the revilers, the extortioners, the liars. This Lord of ours took upon Himself all that filth that I might be redeemed. You say, "Well, were you that kind of a person?" Friend, we all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were shapen in sin and iniquity. There's no man in this world that has perfection in him except Jesus Christ, who is the perfect one. And when He puts His Spirit in your life and He anoints you with His touch, you become a different person altogether. He suffered for all of us. And that was why this Lord of ours took upon Himself man's horrible sin. One day I heard an evangelist by the name of Thomas Guy. I will never forget his testimony. It left a very deep impression on my life. Thomas Guy was a middleweight boxer. He was the contender for the middleweight championship of the world in his day. That was in the early 30s. He had become a victim of alcoholism. And he went to a church in Oakland, California, down by the seaside. And he said, went into that church. He heard a man by the name of Harry Morris tell the audience, "The Lord I serve can save every man. The Lord that saved me can save you. The Lord that died on the cross and suffered for our sins is still able to reach to the lowest depth of humanity and lift a man from the depths of his despair." Well, Thomas Guy sat there and listened, and he thought within himself, "This preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know how deep in sin I am. He doesn't know how rotten I am." And he said, while he was thinking those thoughts, suddenly there appeared a sheet behind the preacher, and a finger began to write down all of his sins, and it filled the sheet from the top to the bottom. And then, as he noticed the finishing of the writing, blood began to trickle from the top of that sheet down to the bottom of the sheet. And as the blood flowed on that sheet, all of his sins were erased. I want you to know, friend, there's a God who can erase your sins and can take away all the powers of bondage that enslave your soul. But in connection with that, hear me, He is not only our great sacrifice, and our message is not only be reconciled to God, but He is our propitiator. He is the propitiator for our sins, said John. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. This takes in the whole cosmos, that is, the human world. And He is the one who took the beating for us. Where I should have been beaten, He took my beating. Where I should have been hung on a cross, He hung on the cross. Where I should have suffered the imprint of nails, He took the print of the nails in His hands. I'm not preaching to you a fairy story. I'm talking to you about the great salvation of our God, who is able to do such a great thing in a human heart. I'm talking to a lost generation. I'm talking to a generation who has lost their way because they believed all the ideas that have come through the so-called high education area. They'll tell you you're your own God. If you're your own God, you're in trouble, friend. But I've got a God who came to save and to seek those that are lost. And He is still in the business of salvation. And He became the propitiator. He took the beating for me. And I'd like for you also to know in that connection that the mercy seat was sprinkled with His own blood for the whole world. And that mercy seat has become the place where we can go without going through another man. We don't have to go to a priest to confess our sins. We can walk straight into the mercy seat. For the day He died, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And now everyone has the right to walk into the mercy seat. When He died, the Bible says that the heavens went dark for 3 hours. Never in the history of Roman capital punishment had the heavens gone dark for 3 hours. The elements knew who was on that cross. The elements understood who was the master of the universe. But the people did not understand. Maybe you don't understand. You're in the hands of God whether you understand it or not. Paul said, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." There are those who have obeyed the New Testament challenge to come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. They found out that He is able to yoke up with them and take their burdens away. They have found that He's the same yesterday and today and forever. They've found, like the prodigal son, that when he came to himself, hear me now, he came to himself. You will have to take a look at yourself and what you're doing before you understand how lost you are. And he came to himself in a pigsty. He looked at the husks that were being eaten by the pigs and which he was partaking of. And when he looked at it, he said, "My servants of my father have more than this, and here I sit." The Bible said he came to himself, and he said, "I'm going back to my father, and I'm going to tell him, I'm not worthy to be your son. I am only worthy to be your servant." He had hardly made a little step toward home when that father saw him coming. He ran toward him, gathered him in his arms, called for a feast. They had a great feast, and they thanked God for the greatness of finding the son. The father said, "My son which was lost is now found again." Where are you today, neighbor? Where are you living? What's causing your lost condition? I've got a Savior that can reach down and bring you into the very beauty of a fellowship that's beyond anything that you know about. Jesus, our Lord, is all sufficient for every need that you have.